Hello and welcome to Unity Presbyterian Church Online. This week in worship, Pastor David takes a look at the wisdom that comes from our elders on this Mother's Day. Let's listen.
Well, so most Tuesdays I send an email to the congregation, and two Tuesdays ago I asked for good advice that you received from your parents. And I was really interested knowing, okay, it's Mother's Day after all, and we've all learned so much from our mothers and our fathers or other parental figures in our lives. And you responded with some great advice, starting with, you can't scald dishes with cold water. Okay, so the context there was this person as a child was cleaning dishes and was complaining to his mom that the water was too hot on his hands. And the mom said, well, yeah, but you can't scald dishes with cold water. The point being that if you want to accomplish something worthwhile, like having clean dishes, you often have to experience some sort of hardship, some sort of something you need to persevere through if it's going to get done, kind of like the hot water. Or here's another one that was sent to me, and I'm guessing this was told in many of your households. This too shall pass. That's a great piece of advice, isn't it? And the person wrote to me, they said, you know, if it was a joyous time, her mother wanted her to remember and celebrate all the happiness of that moment. But if it was a stressful time, she wanted her to know that this time of stress would not last forever. This too shall pass. Here's a couple more in rapid fire. Always treat others fairly as you would want to be treated. I feel like I've heard that before. That sounds almost biblical, doesn't it? Always enjoy each day as if it were your last. Always try to make someone's day a little better than it would have been otherwise. Always acknowledge when you have made a mistake and don't ever hesitate to say, I'm sorry. Or here's the last one. Never forget that the most important thing that you have is family. Now, the words of our parents, they can find their way deeply entrenched in our hearts, can't they? So that at times, years later, they may bubble up and you may find yourself reflecting on them or saying something that you go, oh, my parent would have said that as well. And that's because you've internalized it. You've made it a part of you. And there's good reason for this, of why this happens. I mean, when you were born as a child, you were born knowing nothing. I mean, we need to learn everything about the world and about ourselves. And often that learning is done by those who lovingly raised us. Yes, it really, in each stage of our lives, we need to learn from people who have lived that stage already, who have gone through that stage and then can come back and say, here's some advice. Here's how I did it. Here's what you can do. Now, that person, I recognize, is not always a parent, is it? I mean, some of us had really challenging upbringings. Maybe we have complicated relationships with our parents, but hopefully you have a parent-like figure in your life that has helped you along the way. Or maybe you are that person right now for someone else. Maybe you have the lived experience that you're now generously sharing with someone else who hasn't yet walked as far down that road as you have. Well, today we're going to study some of this wisdom that is passed down from one generation to the next. We're studying the Proverbs, and the Proverbs, it's known as wisdom literature in the Bible, and this book of Proverbs was written by King Solomon. And I thought it'd be neat to study the types of things that King Solomon wanted to pass to his son. What are the values? What are the pieces of advice that he really wanted his son to know as he was looking towards that next generation? So in particular, we're jumping into a section here of the Proverbs. And in this section, Solomon is really trying to pass down the moral values of God. It's almost like he's saying, okay, This is what really matters in life. These commands about living a godly life, living in a way that you're following the path that God wants for you, if I can pass that on to you, then I'll know my job is done. So we're jumping right in here, chapter 6, verse 20. He says, "My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them always on your heart. Fasten them around your neck." Okay, let's pause there. I want you to focus on the verbs that Solomon uses here to bind and to fasten. Bind these teachings about God to your heart. Now, to bind something, this was written in Hebrew. And so to bind something in Hebrew, it had an image associated with it of almost wearing a chain around your neck that you would always take with you. What he's saying is, these teachings that I'm giving you, I want you to display them proudly. I want you to wear them like you would a necklace or jewelry. I want you to walk around with them and everyone will be able to see, oh yes, these are the instructions that you choose to live by. You bind them to your heart. And he also says, I want you to fasten these to you. Now, to fasten something is to make it stay firmly in place, right? It's to tighten something. So what he's saying here is you are to fasten these guiding moral principles to you so that they are with you wherever you go. What he's saying is that these are not the sort of principles that you can just kind of lay to the side whenever you want to. If you're around maybe certain coworkers or friends and you go, okay, for right now, I'm just going to lay these to the side. And then eventually I'll pick them back up and let them be a part of me. He's saying to his son, no, these are the sort of guiding moral principles that I want you to fasten to yourself so that they are so much a part of your inner character that you can never take them off. That's how he begins this discussion, saying these are important character traits that we're talking about that you bind and fasten. He further illustrates this in the next verse. He says, when you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. Okay, I want you to picture a time in your life when you were unsure how to proceed. We all have times of uncertainty where you get to a point in your life and you go, okay, I don't know what to do next. I'm not sure what choice to make here. And at those times that Solomon is even thinking ahead, saying, no, my son is going to have those times, I'm hoping that the wisdom that has been passed down to him will guide him, will speak to him, and will watch over him in those moments. I think, again, of those familiar words of advice and wisdom that we have been given that at times in our subconscious just bubble up right when we need them most. And we realize, oh, they were there the whole time. But it was in this moment that I really needed them. Now, I think here that Solomon is not just talking about any general advice from parents. It's not like when I tell my children literally every night, please don't forget to brush your teeth. And then about 10 minutes later, please don't forget to brush your teeth, and over and over and over again. I mean, that's good advice, but that's not the sort of advice that Solomon's talking about here that will guide you, that will watch over you, that will speak to you. He's speaking specifically about these biblical values that can be taught from parent to child. Yes, you see, when we form our lives around the values that God has presented in the Bible, that has the potential to dramatically shape a person's inner life. We've maybe found that with ourselves. And if you have, then that's something you want for your children as well. Okay, he talks a little bit more about what this looks like. In the next verse, he says, for this command, right, this command of God, this value of God is a lamp. That's the analogy he uses. It's a lamp. This teaching is a light, and the correction and instruction are a way to life. It reminds me of when the psalmist said that your word, meaning God's word, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The sort of image that he's trying to conjure in our minds is the image of sometimes a world that's kind of dark, a world where you're like, I'm not quite sure where I'm supposed to go here. But the guiding principles of God act like a light. They're a lamp to our feet so we can see at least enough of the path to know which next step to take. We may not know 10 steps ahead, but as long as we know with confidence that next step, we will be okay. So you can see that Solomon is really hoping that his son will have these values of God that can guide him in his life. I want to pause there in chapter 6 because a question that emerged in my mind in my study here was, well, okay, what really are these values? What are the values that will shape and nurture a person's inner life? And I thought, okay, if you really want to know, it's probably worth reading all the Proverbs and then not stopping there, but reading a gospel as well, the stories of Jesus. We obviously don't have time to do all of that this morning. And so instead, I chose one chapter in Proverbs that I think speaks to what these values really are. We're going to go backwards now, and we're going to read some of chapter 2. Because in chapter 2, he really outlines these sort of guiding principles that can become a part of his son's life, and hopefully a part of our lives as well. Okay, so these are the first 5 verses now of chapter 2 in Proverbs. He says, "My son, if you accept my words," and again, his words about God, "and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Okay. Fun fact, we have just read 5 verses of chapter 2. Chapter 2 has 22 verses in total. And in the original Hebrew that is written in, it's all one long sentence. For all 22 verses, it's one long sentence. And not only that, but he starts each verse within those 22 verses with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The Hebrew alphabet has 22 letters. And so what he's doing is he's using this to say, okay, it's one long sentence. Every verse has a different letter. The whole alphabet's in here. That would take some time, wouldn't it? I mean, imagine trying to do that in English. One long sentence. Every line has a new letter, maybe 26 letters long. That would take some effort. So what is he trying to accomplish here? Why is he doing that? Well, I think the sense he's trying to give you is a sense of completeness. Like the whole alphabet's in. It's a sense of wholeness. And the idea behind that is if you follow these instructions, if you follow really the commands that are in this chapter, you'll provide a sense of wholeness within you. You'll provide a sense of completeness in your heart as well. That's what he's attempting to do here. And so the advice in this passage, he's saying, is all you need to take that next step in your life. Now, what is that advice? Well, I think, at least in these first 5 verses, that the advice is to take the initiative in searching for the knowledge of God. I mean, did you notice that 3 times Solomon notes this as a possibility? He said, if you accept my words, if you call out for insight, if you look for it as for silver, then you will understand the knowledge of God. You see, what he's saying is that understanding and knowledge of God, these things don't just happen. You're not really just born with it. No, instead, it takes our initiative to pursue it and to seek it out. The author is implying to his son that it's going to take a great deal of effort and even sacrifice if he is going to walk this road. There was a saying among the rabbis of the time, and the saying was, "One who repeats his lessons 100 times is not like the one who repeats his lessons 101 times. And what they imply by that, the idea, is that something is gained every time you choose to meditate on the teachings of God, right? Something is gained every time that you remember what God has done and say, okay, I'm going to try to live according to that. In essence, what he's trying to say is that the pursuit of wisdom, of true knowledge and understanding in this world, is the pursuit of God. Now, he continues this in the next couple of verses. He says, so for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Okay, so look at these first couple lines, because I think that's really the heart of what he's trying to say. He's saying the Lord gives wisdom. And not only that, but it's from God's mouth that comes knowledge and a depth of understanding. I don't know about you, but I want that. I want knowledge. I want wisdom, and I want a depth of understanding. I want to deeply understand myself, who I am on my deepest level, why I'm here, my purpose in this world. I want a depth of understanding about our world with all of its beauty and all of its chaos. And what Solomon is saying is those things come truly in the pursuit of God. I think what he's saying is that God and this life we live are inseparable. The more that you pursue God, the more you will come to understand this life that we get to live. And did you notice all the protection language that he had there? God guards the course of the just. God protects the way of the faithful. And not only that, but he said, God is a shield for those whose walk is blameless. Is anyone blameless in this room? No, me either. No, none of us are there. And that's okay, because this includes all of those who are seeking to live this sort of just and faithful life. The intention is what counts, not the end result. When you choose to walk this path of God, I want you to imagine that God is walking before you. And in Solomon's writing, God is walking before you with a giant shield, which is kind of a poetic way to say, walk with confidence into each and every day. Again, we don't know what tomorrow brings. But if you have this image that I'm not going alone, God's walking in front of me and he's got a shield marching through the way, there's some encouragement to say, okay, then I'm going to walk too. And God, I'm going to pursue you as I walk through this day, and then the next, and then the next. Okay, here's how we're going to conclude today, these last three verses, because in essence, he says, if you walk this faithful path, what will the result be? And here's what he says. He says, then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Okay, the word path that I have highlighted there in the original Hebrew is cart track. And so the image that I want you to have in your minds is of the soft earth that's being pressed down repeatedly as wagon wheels form a path through the countryside. And for those of us who need help with our imaginations, we've got a picture that we have up for you. It's this sort of path that image is supposed to conjure. And the implication of this image is that on this Christian journey, we are not the first ones who walk it. We don't have to learn everything anew. We don't have to start from scratch. We have generations of Christians who have come before us and chosen to walk this path. We've got the wagon wheels leaving a trail for us to follow. All of us have Christian examples that we get to follow. Sometimes those came from our parents, and sometimes they didn't. Sometimes they came from a pastor, or a youth leader, or a Sunday school teacher, or just a good mentor. You don't have to forge your own way to walk what Solomon calls the good path. But he encourages all to walk it. He encourages all to take that next step on that good path. And when we do, you'll notice under your feet that it is a well-worn path that many have walked before us. As you walk it, what I'd like for you to do is to keep up your effort of pursuit, to say, God, I'm walking this path and I'm pursuing you. I have my eyes on you. I am seeking your wisdom, your understanding, and we're not always going to get it right. And there will be times we're awfully confused, but God, I'm keeping my sight on you for the next step and the one after that and the one after that. And Solomon says, in that process of you walking this good path, what you'll find is wisdom changing your heart. You'll find knowledge being pleasant to your soul. Yes, let's learn from the collective wisdom of those who have gone before us so we can live this life that God wants us to live, this life that is right and just and fair. Amen.
If you would like more information about Unity Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at www.unitypres.org or visit us on Facebook. This is the Unity Presbyterian Church Podcast. Have a great week.